Are we recording?
Yes.
Okay, because I was going to say last time that we met, you didn't tell us you could put your finger on the rock and just keep holding it there.
Well, that's the,
when you release it.
Well, you can't. Yeah, right. That's the controversy. That's the question. Can you, when you release it, can you touch the stone a second time? Sweden says no. And people would agree, no, you can't. Now, the question is, was it being properly enforced? So Canada, that was the accusation against Canada. Sweden made that they tapped it a second time. And there was some slow motion, what do you call that? Instant replay where you could see that happening.
That's, look who's a sports fan.
So,
yes, Jenna, that's what they call it. Instant replay.
Yeah. I did not know that rule as a viewer going into the 2026 Olympics. Because you often don't see that. It happens so fluid motion very quickly. And so it wasn't until there, I would say, a kerfuffle that it was publicly brought to people's attention. So I would say, even though I've been watching curling, I do not play.
You should play.
I don't pretend that I'm in, you know, I would be any better from my couch. You know, I don't yell and say, well, I could have made that shot. I'm in awe every time there's a triple knockout, which is a really impressive play.
I saw one, but yeah.
It's something to behold. And in fact, there was a game, I really got into the women's team.
Yeah, Italy.
Yes, yes. And there was even a dramatic moment against Great Britain that did not land on the U.S. side. At the very end, Great Britain walked away with it. And it was impressive to watch still. I had to say, wow, that was a great shot they made.
You guys, what the heck are you talking about?
Well, Jenna, you use another sports term, kerfuffle. Yeah. And so I want to just kind of drill back, and you can explain it to Sue and Spencer and myself. The issue wasn't, are you allowed to put – the issue wasn't the Canadian was denying that he was putting his finger on it, or was the issue whether that was allowed or not? So what was the controversy, whether it was allowed or not, or whether he was doing it?
I believe the controversy was that it was not being enforced by the governing body. And so there are some officials who keep the game going, and it's known as a friendly sport. You know, you're supposed to, if something is too close to call, you know, both sides need to come to an agreement. It's supposed to be a gentleman's game, a friendly game. This had some expletives that were thrown around.
Whoa.
And so
darn,
it got
harder
by Canadians.
Darn?
Right. And right. By Canadians. Golly. It got very heated in a game that typically doesn't rise to that level. Now, but yeah, to your question, Dan, it was that, hey, this is happening. And the accusation was this has been happening outside of the Olympics, and who is going to enforce this rule? So folks agreed on the rule. It was just, again, that was sort of early on in curling, because curling started with the mixed doubles, and then it went to the four-person team. And another storyline that I found interesting this time around is the last time we spoke for the previous Olympics, it was Team Schuster. I was a self-proclaimed Schuster booster. John Schuster was the lead of the team. And in the Olympic qualifying, his team did not win, which was quite dramatic to witness. And Team Casper actually did win and then got the place. So there was a thought that the men's Olympic team would get to go for another time, when in fact they were dethroned, the longstanding team that was.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So even before the Olympics, I was watching to see, you know, will my favorite team representing U.S. make it to the Olympics? Of course they will. And then they didn't. And then their message was, we're not going, but the next generation is. Let's support them. And in fact, John Schuster was a commentator for this Olympics.
Who was the captain of the current team?
Danny Casper. So it goes. The name of the team goes by, it's the skip, and so it's Team Casper. Even though they all have their own different last names. Although for the women's U.S. team, two of the four players are sisters. So it was Tabitha Peterson and Tara Peterson, sisters who played and advanced pretty far. They made it to the bronze medal match. They did not win that one, so they did not make the podium. But then the curling story, the story of the Corys, the two Corys. So in mixed doubles, you have a male and a female. It was Corey Dropkin and Corey Teese, and they made it to the gold medal match, ended with silver, but we saw Corey Dropkin in the stands for the rest of them, number one cheerleader, and he had some hardware to bring home. So those those were the storylines I was watching. Dan, you mentioned, of course, the controversy between Sweden and Canada. And then I was watching, how would this new U.S. team do? And they did okay.
Was there resolution between Canada and Sweden?
Sweden did not come home with the gold. So I do think that there are some feelings and emotions simmering still.
I was, for some reason, in a hotel in Florida and did see a very thrilling match between Switzerland and Sweden. And just that last shot with it, just rocks flying everywhere. It was incredible. And then I still feel like, was that exciting? Was
that
good?
Did they mean to do that?
Was that the win? Was that victory? So I feel like in the 4 years since we went out curling, I've lost a lot of my knowledge, so thank you, Jenna, for coming here to tell us more about the Olympics. Because, man, I really think that curling was the star. A lot of people really learned that they are fans of curling this time around.
It only grows in popularity, and in fact, we saw that Waltham will be hosting open house for people who, in this time around, really got into the sport. They now can try their hand at it.
That's great.
What a triumph.
Yeah.
In Triumph, Illinois.
Yes. That's...
Now, Dan, I want to turn it to you. You watched some really interesting matches, games. What stood out to you when you watched curling 2026?
I never found myself in a hotel in Florida, but I would occasionally...
Lucky.
I would occasionally find myself in, like, bars or something like that. What I love about curling is that I don't know all this, like, jargon that you just threw at us, Jenna. My head is spinning from all this, like, rock.
Made some of it up. Some of it's made up, but yeah.
What?
Sweep.
But the great thing about it is that as soon as you turn it on, it's immediately compelling. Like, you don't need to know, like, the history of the NFL and the gridiron. You can just understand what's happening on a primal level somehow, and it's four people or two people, and I don't remember what day it was, but somehow I was sitting in a bowling alley bar watching women's curling was on, and I just was focused on it entirely. It was really fascinating. It was the Italian team was playing. I think I saw that triple. I happened to watch it, and I always think to myself, why is this on only every 4 years? This yes. should be the background. This should be what I'm watching all year long.
Yep. Yes.
And that's what's so great about what we found in Triumph, Illinois. You can go down there and try it out. You don't have to wait until 2030, I guess. Holy cow.
Wow.
2030 will be the next one. Yeah. And the best part about it, as we found down there, they have kegs of beer. It's so much fun. It's not just for the viewers. The athletes are having this much fun because they're also casual. They're kind of watching. They're in and out. They're drinking beer. Kids of all ages were playing it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dan, because there is that social aspect of it. So at the highest competitive level with the Olympics, you know, there's people in the stands, but you could definitely get that camaraderie where if someone made an amazing shot, the crowd goes wild. And when it's at the social club level, like we saw in Triumph, it's always going on in the background, but then between matches, people are socializing, and it seems like that is the heart of what this sport is in the 4 years between the Olympics. And aren't we lucky that it's in our neck of the woods?
Oh, yeah.
But I find it thrilling. I could watch it every day. And I wish I could.
The four of us need to be a team. Jenna, you'd be our captain.
Yeah.
And Spencer, didn't we put on shoes? Like, I forget, were there...
Teflon.
There's something with our shoes that we put
there's
on.
There's a slippery one.
We had little cover. Were there like little covers on our shoes?
Just one. Because you gotta slide with one and drag with the other, kind of.
I forgot about
that's
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if you're
see,
the
that's different from shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, I think my shuffleboard game improved ever since we tried the curling, but I'd love to have little tiny sweeps.
Well, and their arms, I mean, like swole arms, because you're sweeping. If you're one of the sweepers, you're going. And it reminds me, when I grew up, my family, Belgian, and they played a game called Roly Boly at family gatherings.
Next
ever
show.
Heard of Roly? Yeah, Roly. My uncles always played it, my grandpa, and I never actually played it as a kid, but they still, when we get together, they're like, oh, let's get the Roly Bolies out. And so I kind of want to compare the rules to see how close it is.
I think we need a Western Illinois show sometime so we can learn more about Roly Boly and that terrible pizza.
Actually, you know what's interesting? In curling, you have a finite amount of think time between each time you send off a rock. And each time you have to, as a team, say, okay, what are we going to do? And then if you run out of time, like, you forfeit the game, you lose. You get a timeout, which is good, but then there's constantly a countdown saying, like, make a decision, make a decision, make a decision. So
it's just like podcasting.
This feels like podcasting. It does.
You pause too long and it's over. So yeah. So let's head back 4 years. I'm curious. Now, I regret to say that none of us has joined a curling team since, but I think just listening to this is going to get us thinking about it again, because it was so much fun.
So I started watching in 2014 because I was working the early morning shifts, and the Olympics were like off time, so in the middle of the day I could see them, and I got into it. And then last Olympics, I stayed up to the middle of the night to watch it, to see them get the gold medal match. And this is how nerdy it is. I like rewatched the whole thing on YouTube a couple months ago just to relive it, like how people relive the Cubs winning the World Series. I was like, oh, I gotta watch that again. I remember that moment. And it was just as entertaining the second time around.
Hi, Spencer. Hi, Sue.
Hey, Dan.
Hello.
Dan Libman.
Bon Spiel to you.
Bon Spiel to you.
Is that the right term?
I don't know. There are a lot of crazy terms in this thing that we're going to be discussing today for the latest episode of Under Rocks.
I'm always excited. But, you know, I'll tell you something. I wasn't here when Jenna was explaining all that, so I don't. What is she talking about?
One word. Curling.
Curling?
Curling.
What? Those seen that on television?
It seems like everyone's seen it on television. The Olympics and all that.
Right.
But unfortunately, Olympics are over. U.S. didn't do so well. According to Jenna. Jenna Dooley is our resident expert on curling. So she explained it, but it still wasn't sticking. So we had to go to the ice ourselves.
Love to watch curling, especially during the Olympics? Sure you do. Because
Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
Not my favorite movie, but they had they had that baseball field in the middle of the cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, was more striking.
Yes. So we headed off toward a tiny town, Triumph, Illinois.
Triumph, Illinois, a little bit south of Mendota.
Okay. We know Mendota.
Yeah.
So Triumph, Illinois has a curling center, and we went there.
And it's right in the middle. It's like right next to a bunch of huge silos. And then all of a sudden, I didn't see any other businesses.
No.
All of a sudden, here's the Bon Spiel.
It really was like the field of dreams of curling.
The sheet of dreams.
If you build it, they will come.
And they have for the last...
Lots of people.
More than 100 years?
Yes, more than 100 years.
We'll talk to a historian coming up a little later.
The guy who has curled there more than any other living human being.
Amazing, amazing.
And we got to talk to him.
Yeah.
And we also talked with one of the board members of the club as well.
Paul Solander, in charge of membership, so he had a special interest in getting us out there. He wants us to help spread the word. There is curling in the middle of Illinois.
In Illinois.
Got a good one, Angela.
All right. Here's a real dumb question. What Bon Spiel? Bon Spiel? What does it
sounds
mean?
German to me, but most curlers just know it means party.
Maybe it's a good spiel. I don't know.
A curling party.
Okay. All right. And how did one end up in Triumph, Illinois?
Well, the Scottish immigrants.
Okay.
These folks right here from Waltham Township, which is the next township south of here, were largely Scottish, almost entirely Scottish in that township. And in 1884, you know, the historian of the club, he claims that the volcano Krakatoa is the reason why we have a curling club here. And he ties it all together in that there was a relative visiting from Scotland the winter after the eruption. And it was really cold for a long period of time. There was ice in all the ponds. And he said, "Hey, I'll show you what we do back home." And although some of them were familiar with the game, they'd never actually played it here. And so they started playing on ponds here, and they seemed to take to it and enjoyed it. When he went back to Scotland, he sent a medal, which is up there in that open box in the case there. His name was Curry. John Curry, I think, was his name. And so we play for the Curry medal every year.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, since 1884, there's never been a year when it's been missed.
The lead throws the first two. The second throws the next two. The third throws two after that. And then the skip, sort of like the team captain, throws the final two stones of each end. Stones slide down a sheet of ice nearly 150 feet long. The objective? Finish the end with more stones closer to the center of the house than the opposition. Only one team scores in an end, so if your team has a whole bunch of your own rocks in the house, but the other team finishes the end with one that is closer, they score a point, and you get a big fat zero in that end.
All right, so let's get your name.
Alan Wilson. There probably isn't a person living or dead who has thrown more curling stones out there than what I have.
Wow. Yeah. So as the historian, can you corroborate the fact that this started in Scotland from Scottish settlers?
Well, it started here from a Scottish settler. It's John Curry.
Okay.
He came over from Scotland to visit relatives in 1884. And it's rather unfortunate for the people in Indonesia, but in 1883, the Krakatoa erupted, and winters then for the next 3-4 years were very, very rough.
Right.
Serious cold. So he started the club in 1884, and then he went back to Scotland, and he wanted to see the game made permanent. So he said he would send a medal over to be played for annually. And it's worked like a charm. We're still playing for it.
Are there teams in the area that you're playing against, or is it just
all within this club? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Zamboni?
Similar. A Zamboni actually puts water down.
Yeah.
What we have just scrapes.
Okay.
And it's much more precise. A Zamboni's just giving a rough surface to the ice. It doesn't really, it's not even. That ice is not precise enough to curl on.
Is there a possibility of you over sweeping it? I don't know if that's the right term.
You can over sweep a rock. Since sweeping, like I said, I alluded to the running surface here. You're making a stroke in the direction of travel in front of the rock, and trying to alter the ice in front of the rock. Some would say you're actually melting it just a slight bit, maybe creating a thin film of water.
Friction.
Others would say you're just scratching it. You're just altering the surface of the rock. So, but the net effect is, and that's fairly certain, is that the rock will go a little bit further. There's less resistance after you've swept it, and it'll curl a little less. So you're, because that running surface, the way it bites the ice, the rock always travels in an arc, one way or another, depending upon the turn. And when you're sweeping, it doesn't get that bite, and it doesn't curl as much.
So that's what curling refers to.
Yeah, the name curling is the curling of the arc traveled by the rock.
And you don't want that to happen.
Well, no, you do want it to happen, but you want it to be predictable.
Okay.
And if it is over curling, that's when you would sweep hard to try to slow that curl down. If it's under curling, about all you can do is watch it, although there is a school of thought that says you can enhance the curl with a certain brush stroke.
Is there a penalty if you actually physically bump it?
If you touch the rock, it's a burnt stone, and there's a whole bunch of rules on that.
Yeah.
But pretty much the rock gets pulled.
Oh, really?
When you get close to the house, to prevent guys from deliberately hitting a stone that was going to hurt their team, the opposing skip gets to choose whether or not the rock gets taken off. So if you hit it, then it's supposed to continue on its path. And I don't know whether that's across the fire hog line or whether it's in the house exactly what... I'm not sure the details of the rule, but I do know that the opposing skip will decide when it's close to the field of play. If it's out in the middle and you're sweeping, then you pull it off.
Okay.
That usually is not a problem. It doesn't happen very often. Very rare.
Paul, how did you get into curling?
Well, because I only live about 2 miles away, I was just invited by a member, but it wasn't until after. My grandfather would talk about it from time to time, but he never told me that he was a charter member. And I got up here and I got looking at the history book, and in 1940, when they built this building, he helped in the construction and was a charter member in those days. But my dad, I knew he'd curled for 2 years back in the 50s. So the family's been loosely involved, but never to the level that I have been, my wife and my kids.
For you, is it the game or the camaraderie? Because it seems like just as much of the fun is after it ends.
When I first started, it was what was going on in here, the conversation and the fun and everything. But I've gotten to where I probably enjoy the ice time as much.
So this was actually on ice. Is it a lake near here?
Well, you'll see around the club, there's multiple pictures of outdoor scenes like that. That one was along a creek out here called the Tomahawk Creek. Yeah, there were several places around the community, a couple of farm ponds. Out on the open farm ponds wasn't quite as much fun because oftentimes it was very windy. You could find good ice at times, but the winds made it unpleasant. Backing up to the origin of this facility, Waltham's high, well-drained ground, and looking for a permanent location. And there's no town in Waltham. Well, they came a couple miles north to Triumph, and this was a low, swampy area. So they it'll hold water, and we'll always be able to just put water out and have ice. And so where those grain bins are right next to us, there was an outdoor facility on concrete, and they played, I think, for 4 years there. And then they raised some money to build this building. And then in 1954, they put pipes in. There's a mile of pipe in each sheet. There's three sheets out there. So they spent all the summer threading pipe and putting it together. And then they had artificial ice, and they were able to have a predictable season, where they could have an official start time and official end time. That's when they had the first bonds deal here.
Is there a big organization of the clubs in America, big network?
Originally, about the time that this facility was built, there was maybe even before that, it might have gone back into the 30s, there was the Midwest Curling Association, which was pretty much Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, but there was about 30 or 30, 40 clubs in that old association. And then it became, then a national association came sometime thereafter, and they divided up into regions.
Have you ever had any Olympiads compete here?
Debbie McCormick. I was here when Debbie McCormick was here.
Yeah, we had Olympians curl here, but members of this club have never curled. Well, they've curled in playdowns to the Olympics, but never made it that far.
Oh, okay. From here, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. She was just visiting.
Yeah, she's just visiting there at that time, and we've got her picture out there. She comes back usually every other year and curls in a bond spiel here.
What are some common mistakes you see from newbies? Maybe they watch it a lot and they think, I'm going to be really good at this. So they always overshoot.
Yeah, throwing it too hard or giving it too much spin. You want about two and a half revolutions down the ice, and people give it, just really spin it, and it'll just run straight as an arrow, and you can't be accurate. Because hitting the broom, the skipper gives you a target. That's his broom. And it's key to make the shot hitting his broom because he's anticipating so much curl.
Oh.
Skips are usually skilled in that they've watched thousands of rocks come down the ice. They've been doing it for a long, long time.
So they're standing on the other end and you're aiming for them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's a good temperament for a player? I mean, a good player is going to be what kind of person?
Well, there's a difference between, a good lead and a good skip, a skip has to be able to look at adversity. If things are going, it's just falling apart on you, to be able to be relaxed and make your last shot. Because the beauty of the game is you're never out of it. there's always a shot out there that can be made that can save the end. Because no matter how many rocks are counting by your opposition, if you can get closer to the center than he is, you score one, he scores nothing. So there's times you watch a game and there's one really skilled skip with a very weak supporting cast and then another well-balanced team. And if this guy's on his game, he's going to win it with essentially one rock every end where the other team has eight well-placed rocks.
You're also training the future.
Yeah, too. That's so what we're working on out here right now.
You actually have kids leagues. Tell me a little about, like, from what ages? And
as soon as they can get a rock down the ice, they're eligible. They can get a rock in
play. That's what my grandpa used to say.
And that goes to age 21. And usually you find some kids at 9 or 10, but certainly by 11 or 12 they can get them out and play to age 21. So they have almost 10 years of eligibility if they start young.
I'm Lily Hawes. I'm in fifth grade. I live over in Dixon and go to Madison School. So my parents started doing it. I didn't know what a thing it was. So they just take me out on the ice and I'm like, okay, so what do I do now? And I just managed to just throw a stone down the ice just all right, and it was just fun.
You were a natural?
Yeah, I was like, I just want to keep doing this. Even though you just get cold out there, you just like, I want to keep throwing these stones. I can give you a whole speech about it. I think if you're on the ice, probably like get your balance first and you'll get used to the feel of the ice and try and keep clean shoes. Yeah.
After you play,
it sounds like there's like lots of cocoa and snacks.
Sometimes, yeah, but after the curling, afterwards and before, which we forget to do sometimes before, we just say good curling for like good luck, and then after we just say good curling, same thing.
Before and after.
Yeah, to everybody, even your teammates. Well, good luck and...
Good curling.
Yeah, good curling.
It's still moving. It's because it's really sweeping hard and really making them work. Just give it a kick!
Yeah.
It's just a totally different sport.
What do you like, what part of it do you enjoy doing out there? Do you like the curling or the sweeping?
I don't know yet because I'm really bad at all of it.
Really?
Oh, see, this is good to know. You can be bad.
No. And that's what's so great out here is they'll, you know, they put you on team with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And everybody's really patient with you and helps out and stuff. You know, sweeping is definitely an aerobic exercise.
Yeah, that's what we found
out. So you get it out and it's just, you know, it's completely different and it's fun. You know?
Have you fallen?
I have fallen when I'm throwing stones.
Okay.
It'll slide out from under me. I haven't fallen sweeping yet.
Okay.
Yet.
That's fine because you're close to the ground.
It's not as slick as you think it is. That's the weird part.
Right, that is. That's what we noticed.
Yeah.
The first time I went out, I really expected to be like, hey, it's not.
Very cool.
But did you enjoy it?
Absolutely, yes.
Good curling, everybody.
That was some amazing curling. That was awesome.
Yeah, you think
you guys did great.
Think you got a future in it?
I would love to have a future in it. I'm definitely going back. Here's how you know we had a good time. Like Spencer and I, when we were done, we went back and tried to buy T-shirts. That's how you know I always have fun when I try to buy the T-shirt.
So if people want to pursue a career or just a fun day,
just a fun afternoon,
exactly. Hook up with the Waltham Curling Club, WALTHAM, Triumph, Illinois.
We'll have a link on our, on the Under Rocks site.
You're going to want to get out there and try it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, curling, I have to say, it is way more fun than watching it, and watching it is fun, and it's one of those things that you actually have to do it before, you know, put it on your bucket list, I believe they call it that.
Absolutely. And we finally had rocks on Under Rocks.
We were throwing rocks on Under Rocks.
Yes.
Well put.
Well, what rocks do you think we might overturn next time?
I can't wait to find out.
We're going to have to ask listeners to give us some more ideas, too. If you have an idea for Under Rocks,
how can they contact us?
All you have to do is send an email to rocks@niu.edu.
I'm doing it now. Good curling.
Good curling.
It's not all about the Olympics. This is, you know, it's not everyone is just training for the Olympics. We could just be state champions or something like that, you know?
When we could go on the public radio curling circuit and just dominate Northern Public Radio's team, the Under Rockians. They wouldn't know what hit them over there at where else do they have a public radio station? BEZ wouldn't know what hit them.
Yeah, yeah. I bet that WIUM could give us a run for our money, though.
WHYY would stink, I'm telling you.
Oh, God. Terry Gross is their captain.
She would just start talking, and then... Yeah.
And then time would run out.
She'd run out of time.
Forfeit. Yeah. All right, so you guys and anyone who is thinking it's time to get out there on the ice, get that one shoe booty thing on and throw a stone, you can. This is pretty exciting that Illinois Valley Community College and the Waltham Curling Club are teaming up all this March to offer basic instruction in the sport. Now, Jenna, you're a little beyond basic. You're more advanced in the sport, I think. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to review. So, like they said, on TV, curling looks easy, but you gotta practice. A lot goes into it before you even get out there on the ice. So, I think that is an excellent opportunity for people to learn or at least have a really good time. Contact your local curling club. I know there's one in Janesville, Wisconsin, too.
Hurry hard.
Good curling.
Good curling.